Now, back in the day, I don't know what day that is for you, but back in the day, we learned things differently than kids do today. Of course, my parents and grandparents said the same thing about the way we learned. That back in their day, they learned differently. But I do believe that my generation, at least, was able to hold on to a few of those relics from the past. And we learned a lot of things by rote. Now, you all know what learning by rote is? Repetition, repetition, repetition. And a lot of the things that we learned, thanks be to God for me, were put down in little rhythmic jingles, a lot of which rhymed. And so we learned a lot of these little things, and we said them over and over. And actually, as a kid in school, when we would say them and somebody didn't get the rhythm right, it would just distract me and make me so mad. But I'm going to try out a few of them on you and see if you can help me complete them. Are you ready? If at first you don't succeed. See, y'all learned it. How about this one? Sticks and stones may break my bones. Oh, y'all are good. Now we're going to step up our game a little bit. This one's harder. I'm going to start and see if anybody can get the end. I had to look it up this morning. I before E, except after C, and here you go. Or, when sounded as A, in neighbor or way. Yeah, it's all coming back. Oh, yeah, I remember that. I got it. Okay. Now, my mother was really fond of looking at me and saying, fools' names and fools' faces are always seen in public places. I don't know why she felt like she had to say that to me, but I heard that one a lot. So many of our life lessons were put into these little, we call them sound bites today, but the sound bites that we learned were actually helpful to learn how to live with the rest of the world. There's one book on Amazon, I looked this up too, and on Amazon there's a book, in case you need this, you might need to refresh your memory, but it's called I Before E, Except After C, Old School Ways to Remember Stuff. So if you'd like to go on Amazon and buy that book, it's available just in case you need a refresher course. Now there's one more that I want to talk about today, and maybe you know it, maybe you don't. At 8:30, they kind of got a glazed over look, but I remember learning this in school over and over again, and it started like this. Good, better, best, never let it rest, till your good is better and your better best. Do y'all remember that? I guess they just taught that in Houston. Good, better, best, never let it rest, till your good is better and your better best. Now, if you can believe it, the internet attributes that saying to Tim Duncan. Okay, that is not true. But that's what the internet says. Actually, scholars today are saying that really nobody knows who came up with that phrase. One person attributed it to St. Jerome. I'm more willing to go with him than I am Tim Duncan. But it really doesn't matter who came up with that saying, good, better, best. Never let it rest till your good is better and your better best. So we're kind of look at that phrase today as we go and visit Mary and Martha. I bet a lot of you, when you heard that the reading was Mary and Martha, you went, oh, I got this. I don't need to listen. So I hope that you can listen a different way today as we visit those two sisters. And so traditionally, this passage has been seen by scholars either as a squabble between two sisters. We can probably relate to that if we have a sister, or if we know someone who has a sister. They've also seen it as a statement about feminism. Don't get me going. And some people have seen it as a judgment about the merits between contemplation or active service for God. And so maybe it's some of those things, and maybe it's none of them. Let's see what we find out today. So to remind you of what was happening, as always, we have to go back and see where we were before we get to the place we are. And so in the verses preceding this, verses 25 to 37, is where Jesus tells the parable of the Good Samaritan. You all know that story? And that story is about hospitality and being a good neighbor. And Jesus is explaining this parable to an expert in the law, and he tells this long, drawn-out story about some man lying on the ground. He was a Samaritan. Nobody liked him. And three people who came along, and the last one helped. And so Jesus, and the last one who helped was a Samaritan. That's what it was. And like nobody would think he would do the right thing, and yet he did. And so Jesus asks the expert in the law, which of these men did the right thing? And the expert in the law said, the last one, because he showed mercy. And so Jesus says, go and do likewise. So it's no accident that the very next verse, verse 38, says this. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. So right away, now we see another good neighbor. Martha is a good neighbor and has now opened her home to Jesus, and immediately I think she probably goes, oh my gosh, it's Jesus. We're glad you're here. And she races to the kitchen to start getting a meal ready. Well, Sister Mary plops down at Jesus' feet and just starts listening to him. And then here it comes, verse 40. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. I hate that verse. I think that verse could sometimes say, but Colleen was distracted by all of the preparations that had to be made. And truth be known, ladies, many of you could put your name in that blank too. Now, if it said, but John was distracted, probably some of you guys could get on board with this as well. All the time we find ourselves distracted when we're trying to prepare something. I mean, who hasn't prepared a meal or a family reunion or a Thanksgiving dinner when the whole idea is to get the family together and focus on being in relation with each other, and all you can really focus on is the turkey done and what time are they going to be here? They're running us late. That's what Martha was doing that day. But then verse 40 continues. There's more. Martha came to Jesus and said, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. I can kind of see Martha with her hand on her hip talking to Jesus. Tell her to help me. And then Jesus says, Martha. Martha, he repeats her name, Martha, Martha, you're worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken from her. The Haley paraphrase of that is, Martha, Mary has chosen to let the meal wait and to sit with me while I'm here. I'm not going to tell her to stop doing that. Jesus makes no judgment here about whether it's better to sit at his feet or to prepare a meal. He just says that Mary has made the better choice. He doesn't say that what Martha's doing is bad. He only says that Mary has made the better choice. Good, better, best. Never let it rest till your good is better and your better best. You see, Mary had chosen to progress in her discipleship while she had the chance. I mean, Jesus was right in their house. And so she took that opportunity to sit at his feet and to hear what he had to say and to hear what he had to teach. She made the better choice by seizing that opportunity when it was right there in front of her. Martha, on the other hand, made the choice to serve, which is a very good choice. Nothing wrong with that choice. But she was distracted and anxious about the choice that she made, and she might have been, I don't know, just a little bit whiny. Martha was under no obligation to be in the kitchen. She chose to be there. She could have chosen to sit at Jesus' feet, but she chose to be in the kitchen and held it against Mary because she did choose to sit at Jesus' feet. She missed out on the opportunity to be close to her Lord and to become more intimately acquainted with Jesus. And being intimately acquainted with Jesus is just about the only way that I know of to avoid distraction and whininess and complaining and anxiety. It's the only way I know of that really and truly leads to peace. It's the only way I know of to get prepared for when things are really hard. The other day after the bombing in Nice, I saw a guy on TV. And he was telling everybody how to be prepared in a big crowd like that. Former police officer, so he had lots of good tricks. He said, walk into a building and let your head be on a swivel. Look for the exit signs. If there's a really big crowd and you're outside, just stay on the fringes of the crowd or up close to a building. Don't get right in the middle of all those people. There's the target. He was telling people how to be prepared before they're in that situation. That's what sitting at Jesus' feet does for Christians. It gets us prepared so that when something really hard does happen, we'll be ready for that. And we won't have to be anxious. We won't have to be distracted. We won't have to be complaining or bitter or upset. We can get so anxious and distracted sometimes that we completely miss out on the opportunity to know who the best source of emergency preparedness is. And that is Jesus Christ. No amount of prepping or planning will be of any use to any one of us if we don't know Jesus when the emergency comes, whatever that emergency is. And there are lots of things that qualify as emergencies. They're not just terror attacks. It's an emergency when I'm sitting next to the bedside of a family member and that person needs a word from God. It's an emergency when we are sitting up all night with a sick child and we don't know what to do. It's an emergency when we lay awake in bed at night trying to figure out something at work that just doesn't seem to have an answer. And we stay up for hours and hours looking for that answer. What if we stayed up hours and hours praying through it? Getting ready for when that emergency really, really comes. There is a better choice for all of us. Is anybody here involved in robbing banks? Or like holding up people at gunpoint? No, because we're all doing good things. Every one of us is doing good things all the time. But there's also something better. Sitting at the feet of Jesus so that those good things can become anointed, so that they can become holy, so that we can become living examples of what it looks like to follow the Lord we claim to worship. I love the story of Mary and Martha. It reminds me of my great need to choose Jesus over the detail overload that sometimes plagues me. It reminds me that even in spite of the fact that I make good choices, sometimes it is quite obvious that I need to make the better choice of getting still and sitting at the feet of Jesus. How can I do that? I got to make time to do that. Sometimes you just got to let the meal wait. And you have to just know that sitting at the feet of Jesus is more important than getting all the meal stuff ready. I remind you of Romans 12, verse 2. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then you will be able to test and approve God's will, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. We have to make time to sit at the feet of Jesus. Now, I don't stand up here and say to you, I know God's will. I don't. But here's the thing. I do know Jesus. And so I can tell you what his will is not a lot of the time. If someone says, I killed my children because Jesus told me to, I know immediately that is wrong. But if I don't know Jesus intimately, I might say, those crazy Christians, look what they teach their people. It is our responsibility as followers of Jesus to sit at his feet and to learn who he is and to become so ready with him that when emergency and crisis really does come, we'll be prepared to get through it. Being prepared has more to do with knowing Jesus than it does with having all your ducks in a row or having every single detail in order. We are powerless and helpless against so many things, but Jesus is the only one who can give us power when we need it. And brothers and sisters, we have so many opportunities to sit at Jesus' feet. We still live in a country that lets us do that whenever we want. And yet, we push that aside and say, I'll do that later. Or, I already know all that stuff. Or, I don't need that. And yet, we still claim to follow Jesus. Every one of us can identify with Martha. All of us can see in our lives places where anxiety and control have led us, even while we believed we were serving Christ. Some of us secretly yearn to be more like Mary, to let the things of the world wait and to sit at the feet of Jesus, but we're way too worried about the world's demands and problems. And we might even be worried about other people's behavior. Did you notice that Martha's biggest complaint was about what Mary wasn't doing? Did you notice that? Jesus, don't you care that I have to do all this work and Mary's just sitting around? Tell her to help me. It is not our job to be worried about everybody else. It is our job to sit at the feet of Jesus and to remember that the only behavior we can possibly control is our own. How do we become sanctified? How do we get closer to Jesus? By knowing who he is and knowing him intimately. Not knowing Jesus works against us when we most need his presence. Not knowing Jesus makes us ill-prepared to live in a world that is more chaotic by the day. So here are your questions for this week. What is it in your life that competes with Jesus? What is it that tries to distract you so much that you are satisfied with good choices and not trying to make better choices? Make time to know Jesus through Scripture, through prayer, through making better choices, and through devoting your time to him so that when things really do get hard, you can pray through them instead of complain through them, instead of blame other people, instead of telling everybody how hard life is. When we come into the middle of chaos with Jesus by our side, the chaos becomes very, very small because Jesus is always bigger. The community of believers need both Marys and Marthas. Both are needed. Don't get me wrong. Both people are needed. The danger lies in being only one or the other. And we're all better Marthas when we make the better choice. And so as Jesus said to the Good Samaritan, go and do likewise. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.